I love people and I love cook for them. I love the expressions when people have the first bite and you can see on the face and say, oh, wow, that's different. I love the expression. I love the noise. I love the sound of the restaurants. I love when the people laughing. I love when the people talking.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Some say passion for food can run through your veins, passed down from generation to generation as the core of everything the family does and shares together. There are some families that have changed the way we eat in restaurants over many generations, sharing their own story and creating stories for diners, their children, and their children's children. Mario Bacuaco is a chef and co-owner of Il Pontile on Sydney's iconic Woolloomooloo Wharf. Mario, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very, very well.
It's great to have you on the show. You hail from four generations of chefs and restaurateurs, which is quite incredible. What's it like having that in your family history?
Quite difficult. Now, four generations, yeah, as you say, it's four generation restaurant and business. Obviously born in restaurant business, my father being a chef, constantly passed on the way of cookings, the flavors, the recipes, and the way of life of restaurants, because as you know, restaurants is not just cooking, but it is your way of life. Four generation restaurant business. And I've been in business personally for 25 years or maybe a little bit more. And I can't think anything else I can do except be in the restaurant business.
Well, you were born in Italy and you grew up there. Take us back to when you were young and what it was like growing up as a kid and the role that food played in a family where food was so important as careers as well as at home.
Yes. Now, obviously, yes, I'm born in Italy, Naples, exactly. And look, the city I'm born, and if anyone been in Naples will understand me, it is a very particular city. The food in Naples, and where I come from, right in the middle of the city of Naples, it's very patient. Neapolitan with the food, they are extremely patient. We have an example recipes. They all been done on particular days, like the Sunday. So in the Sunday, I remember when I was a young boy, we used to go and see each other between friends. Then, but by 1 o'clock p.m., you must stay home because we had to have lunch with our whole family, with my grandfather on the table. Everybody should be, by 1 p.m., everybody should be on the table. But we, between our friends, we all knew it. If close to 1 o'clock, we had to run home and sit on the table and eat the Sunday lunch. Now, I remember running around the streets as young kids, you can actually smell the mom, the grandma doing the ragu, the classic Neapolitan ragu. So you have this incredible smell and all around the streets, and then you have the grandmother who does the desserts, so you can smell the vanillas, the baking, and then you have another family who does the Genoese. That the Genoese, by the way, is on the menu, and you can smell the Genoese for kilometers away. So you have all these incredible flavors, and then I must say the flavors does change accordingly to the seasons, because then if you have the spring, the winter, the summer, you have again a different smell because they're cooking according to the season. So you grew up with all that. And I can tell you when sometimes we have a bad weather in Sydney or we have a beautiful sunny day in Sydney, and I can smell, I know it maybe sounds crazy what I'm saying because I'm very, passionate about food and crazy. And sometimes I walk around the Sydney and you can have the kind of smell. Sometimes, if it's winter, you can smell the wood fire. I remember when I was young, you can feel the kind of recipe. So I can actually feel and I can visualize a recipe according to the smell. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true.
Tell us about when you realized that you wanted to be a chef and move into the hospitality sector for a career?
Well, can I have no options? Well, let's put it this way. I could not become a lawyer, even if I would be dreaming to become a lawyer, because being a fourth generation restaurant business, my father, obviously, a chef, I kind of not push it, but it was an automatically, easy to get in. Being a chef, obviously wasn't always. I must say, look, I have to say, because of my surname, because I'm Armando's son, in one way it was easy, but in the other way it was even much more difficult if you are nobody's son. What I can explain that. Because I was Armando's son, obviously every single door in this, in the world, it opens, because, my father, everybody knows my father. So obviously Armando's son, everybody would like to have him. And it brings the name. But obviously it was harder because I have all the eyes on me, and I had to prove that, not because I'm Armando's son, but I'm my own chef, and I'm pretty good chef. Not because I'm Armando's son. Obviously, being Armando's son, that does help. So it was a double job. I had, I must say, 25 years in this business. I never regret, and always have an amazing satisfaction in this country and in Italy. Yeah, so not complain.
Tell us about when you first came to Australia and what you thought about food here.
Right. No. Sydney, I love Australia. I love Australia. I think it's one of the best countries in the world, and I can explain exactly. Now, I used to have restaurants in Italy, so maybe I'm one of a few chefs in this country who actually have restaurants in Italy and open the restaurants in Italy. And, most of them, they came as young boys, but I actually have restaurants as an adult. Open restaurants, running restaurants in Italy. So when I came in Australia, I, as you know, my family been in the business restaurant in this country for a long time. My family always, my grandfather, my father, always trying to make people understand that the Italian food is not just pizza or carbonara or bolognese, because unfortunately, many, many years ago, the Italian food, it wasn't much respectable, let's put it this way, in the old days. They thought it was, cheap pasta, But with my grandfather, my family, it was the first family in this country who tried to do something to make people understand that Italian can even be a nice dining, a fun dining. It doesn't have to be the cheap, stuff. That, by the way, there's nothing wrong with a cucina. We call cucina povera, but cucina povera, if it's done well, it's actually better than fun dining. Not better, but it's an incredible flavors. I have a lot of respect about this country because, like I said, my family tried to show people that Italian food can be refined. It can be done properly if you are a proper chef, if you are a proper restaurateur, and not just in inventing yourself, that before you used to be a bricklayer, a cement guy, and all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and say, let's open a restaurant. Because I can invite my friends, yeah.
With a father in the restaurant industry, and a grandfather, and also an uncle as well. What else did you learn from your family when it came to being a chef?
Oh, a lot. Oh my God, a lot. But like you say, Tony Percoco, he have an incredible, beautiful restaurants in Brisbane, Tartufo. Obviously, my father, my grandfather, my the other uncles, they've all been in the restaurant business. And I learned how to feel. That's another thing. It may sound crazy, but I always have, I've been lucky in my life because every restaurant I've been working, I always have an open kitchen. Now, when you have an open kitchen for so many years, and if some chef will heard me, will understand what I mean, you actually see the face of a customer because you see everyone, because I like to see all the customers from the kitchen. And sometimes you can actually visualize the, and that's what my father, my grandfather teach me, you can actually feel the customer when they sit, what kind of mood, and according to the mood, what type of food they would like to eat. I don't know if it makes sense. So I learned that from my families because, you know, my father was, he knew exactly what to sell to a table, an example, because he can feel how the customer, what kind of mood it was. So if it was an aromatic, you know, it was a business meet, you know, it's different. And I used to do that in the CBD when I used to have Acquapazza in the number one band and when I used to have Intermezzo because I always have an open kitchen. And sometimes I used to have a CEO, big CEO for lunch. Obviously, it was a particular dish I could cook for them because they were in the suits with a tie, and there's some particular dishes would not suit for the particular lunch. You know, if it's a business lunch, you do different kind of food. And again, I've been lucky enough because most chefs say, yeah, but we can't do it. But I've been lucky enough because I must say for 25 years, after a while, my regular customers, they didn't want to see the menu. They say, now, chef, you send us what you think. Some of my customers didn't even bother to look at the menu. The waiter used to go on the table and say, no, forget about the menu. Let you choose the chef. So that was obviously. So I learned that from my family. Yes, I learned the spirit, the feeling of customers, the spirit of customers, the happiness, and sometimes you even understand the flavors that they understand. You know, in some customers, obviously you don't send a particular dish. An example, if I have a tripa, the tripes, you know, there is a particular customer you can send it, not to everyone, you know? So yeah, I learned, you know, the service, the ingredients, the smell alone from my family, the recipes, yeah.
You mentioned about becoming your own chef, even though your family history is rich with those in the hospitality sector. And in 2001, you were named by the Sydney Morning Herald as Chef Young Talent. You've won numerous hats as well. What's been the real sort of integral moments in your career?
I think, have heads. It was an amazing satisfaction because when I opened Zenith in Annadal and I received the hat, I was extremely happy. Obviously, it's for a chef that is, you know, it is very graduating. Obviously, it's a hard work. You know, we work nearly 24 hours in the kitchen trying to serve proper food to the customers. And when you've been a reward, you know, if it is, it doesn't matter if it is a hat or if, for me, it's reward if a customer's finished the dinner and get out of the table and they come walk to the kitchen and say, chef, there was an amazing meal. For me, it's the most beautiful things at the end of the night. And I can tell you actually the opposite way. If you, let's say you have 80 customers or 100 customers and 99 customers, let's say you have 100 customers, 99 customers, they walk out of the restaurant, they're going to say, wow, what amazing meal. And I think some chefs will understand me. And you have one customer out of 99 who say, I did not enjoy it. Trust me, you go home and you constantly thinking about the single customer, what did I done wrong with the particular customer? So, and it goes in your mind constantly all night, you know what I mean? And you try to go back on time and you say, what did I done? Because it was 99, it was okay, but that particular customer, so you start to understand what was the problem, you know? And hopefully you pick the problem and try to not do the next time, basically. Yeah. But the rewarding obviously is the most beautiful day. And I must say another beautiful part of my life was when I opened the restaurants in Italy. You know, it's an incredible satisfactory. From if you think about it, from a chef, young chef, and then a mature chef in Sydney, you know, not because I want to say it, but I have a courage, and because honestly, it's not easy, but I have the courage to leave Sydney and travel back in Italy and open a restaurant. When I say I open the restaurants, I didn't open a trattoria or fast food. I open a proper restaurant, a full-scale restaurant in Italy. And that was one of my incredible, that, you know, like it takes, not because I want to say, but it takes an incredible courage to do that, to go back in Italy after you left. You know, my father said, you are crazy, you are nuts. You go back in Italy, open a restaurant. You know what I mean? But that's, and that was an incredible reward, to be honest. Yeah.
In Sydney, before you left, you were known for Zenithon Booth and Intermezzo, GPO, many restaurants. But take us to that time when you did go back to Italy in 2015 to create that restaurant. What sort of restaurant was it? And what sort of people came through?
Yes, it was, like I say, it wasn't like a cheap restaurant or a trattoria. It was a fine dining restaurant. So I opened an incredible looking restaurant. It used to be, imagine it was a 1500, was built, this particular building where I opened a restaurant, it was built in the 1500. You know, there was an incredible structure. You can see on internet, actually, on Google. And there was a section of the restaurant. I wasn't allowed, because open restaurants, obviously, at the meeting with the architect, with the council, and because it was an old building, so it was protecting by the council, because you could not, obviously, do a lot of things you want to do it, because it's protected by the history. And imagine there was some part of the world that it was built in the 1500, and we were not allowed to touch it, not even to fix it. It had to be like the Colosseum. You're not allowed to touch it. You're not allowed to really fix it. So it was this part of the world. I remember with my architect, we weren't allowed to touch it. It was extremely clear by the council. You say, guys, you not touch it. You can put maybe some lighting in it, but you're not allowed to touch it. So we went around, you know, best shops in Italy for lighting, to find a beautiful lighting let's say it was splashed on this particular wall, and it looked like, honestly, it looked like a Colosseum. It looks beautiful. And so that was, you know, it was the building where I opened the restaurant. So it was a giant, it was a beautiful building. And customers are, because I was 20 minutes from in the south, from Lecce, obviously what I did try is to not just concentrate on the local, but to have an international customers, because Puglia is very famous now. And we have people around the world. So and obviously summer, it was much more busy winter, because summer, you have the world. What does it mean? You virtually have the world come and see you. Well, then I was in a few reviews, a few guy, restaurant guy in Italy. So, and I, all the few concierge, five-star hotel, they knew I opened the restaurants, and they knew my background. So they used to send beautiful clientele from the five-star hotel to the restaurants. Different, obviously, than in Puglia, because you had to send the car, private car, who drive to the restaurants. They had to wait for dinner, and then they pick it up and they bring it back to the hotel. So I have, I have the world. I remember in summer I have Americans, Germans, Spanish, Asian from Hong Kong, from Shanghai. I have, you may have not believed, but, and I have many Australians and some from Sydney. Incredible. I have a Sydney, Australian from Sydney, came all the way down Puglia to eat to my restaurants in Puglia. And by the way, the ones that came in Puglia, they are today still my customers. And anytime they come and see me, they say, remember we were in your restaurants in Italy? Yes, of course I remember. And it's not incredible. And then obviously you have the celebrity. I have the politicians from the Italian government. I have a celebrity from Hollywood. I have a Kate Winslet, an example, came from dinner, for dinner. You know, Kate Winslet from, you know, from Hollywood and Oscar. So I have many, look, many names, not going to say the names now, but that's some of the people, like many the politicians and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that was, I think, that was incredible. That was fun. And I really enjoyed because I had, like I say, I have the courage to go back in Italy from not knowing nobody and open a restaurant there with a fairly good caliber restaurant. It wasn't like a, you know, trattoria. Yeah. And dealing with Italians in Italy.
Well, what brought you back to Australia after that?
Very simple, very simple. Now, you have to understand, when I opened restaurants in Italy, I went by myself. And I remember I always spoke with my father, and they said, look, you understand you'll be by yourself there. You have nobody, because all my family in Australia, they immigrated in Australia many, many years ago. So virtually I have nobody there. But he said, look, you'll be by yourself. You know, I have a wife here, I have a children here, I have grandkids here. So he said, it would be difficult. He didn't mention it. He said, it would be difficult because you will be by, virtually by yourself. And I said, you know, I'm stubborn. And I said, no, I want to try. And he said, okay, try. You know, I had to say, he gave me my blessing. I said, try. And so basically, that's exactly what happened. I was by myself for a few years there. And the hard part was, and I don't sound dramatic, but it was that it wasn't like a force, my wife, but my poor wife was flying, travel every 4 months, 5 months to come and see me. And now you have to understand that Sydney, Rome, it's not like around the corner. It's not like a Sydney, Melbourne. You know what I mean? It's 22 hours flying. And when you land in Rome, then you take another airplane to land in in Puglia. And then you have to travel with a car for another 20 minutes to reach Lecce. So, you know, I mean, I feel so bad because I feel guilty. I say, look, they're doing everything. They're doing so much sacrifice for me because I want to, you know, but I thought, okay. And I spoke to my father and said, he said, look, it's time to come back. Now you've done, you prove yourself, you prove to everyone that you can do it. Now you can come back. I say, okay. Simple as that.
Well, you've been a chef for quite some time now. Tell us about your food and your approach to cooking.
My food is, like I said before, it's cucina povera. It's nothing really fancy. It's what the flavor, the traditions, what should be, or what I try to be. Anyway, no, it's what I try to be, because every chef has his own interpretation to do it. But it's what my interpretation, what I think it is right. I repeat, it's what I think is right, because perhaps another chef say, no, that's not the way to do it, but that's what I think is right. You know, chefs sometimes. But it's basically a real food. It's a honest, real food that you sit at Pontile, you can, you know, beautiful next to the water, and you have this beautiful frittura di mare, you have this beautiful acquazzetto, you have an incredible flavors there with a beautiful glass of wine, and it's just going to make you, hopefully it's going to make you your day amazing. After we went through so much with COVID and everything else, we want to talk about that, but you know, we have some rough time in the last few months. I think that's what I will try to do, is just make people comfortable, enjoy it, enjoying the flavors, enjoy their friends, enjoy Sydney, because we've been locked, you know, obviously, in the house for many months. So really enjoy this beautiful city. This is one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
Well, you're on one of the most beautiful wharfs in the world as well. Tell us about the new restaurant. What it's like, and maybe a dish or two to sort of exemplify what you're cooking there.
Right. So Il Pontile. Il Pontile obviously is in Wollamaloo on the wharf. It's one of the most beautiful icon position in Sydney. It looks stunning. Look, it's going to look stunning. It looks stunning already. Beautiful colors. And food-wise, we have a couple of dishes that I think it suits. Now, before we talk about dishes, the way I work, now, according to which restaurant I work, I design the menu, because this this particular example, this particular menu would not suit if I'm a different position, like in the city or in the mountains. Obviously, it would be different type of recipes. So what I do, according to the restaurants I've been, I design menu or my scenery. Now, obviously, Pontile is right on the water. So it's based on the freshness of the seafood. We have a few meat, no problem. For in case people want some meat, we have a day. But it's, you know, percentage is, it's a seafood, it's freshness. We have a couple of dishes that I'm very exciting. An example, the one I said before, the frittura di paranza, means misto fritto di mare. You know, it's beautiful. It's, I know it's classic, it's been done, but, you know, fritto means frittura. It's, no, some chefs will understand me. It's not. Frying, it's not. You had to, I'm very particular on fry because I'm from Naples, so frittura for us is extremely important. So the fry, if you done properly, it's difficult and it is not. So the frittura di mare, I think next, imagine being sitting here with a beautiful sunny day and you have a beautiful rosé or white and you have this incredible, beautiful selection of frittura di mare. I think it's nothing better than that. So that's one particular dish that I quite enjoyed. I'm very excited. I love food. Another one that I think is going to go extremely well, and you can actually check on Google, it's linguine al cartoccio. Now, linguine al cartoccio, there is a baking paper. It's a linguine cooking in partially in the baking paper. And it's full with the seafood. So imagine, so what happened is this parcel, let's call it parcel because then it's kind of closer like a parcel. We finish it off in the oven, blah, blah, blah. Then it goes on the table and you open this parcel and all this flavor and these flavors and the smoke goes up your nose and you can smell these beautiful flavors. It's just an incredible feeling. That's one thing that I'm excited.
The last year and a half has been incredibly challenging for everyone on the planet and especially those in the hospitality sector. What sort of impact has it had on you and how are you feeling about what's to come as society opens up?
Well, you know, like you're 100% right. Well, like you say, unfortunately, the last few months or period of a life which has been quite difficult and challenging for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a restaurant business. Imagine the doctors, the nurse, they did an incredible job in around the world. Just I think they're amazing people. Obviously, hospitality, we pay a lot of price because we had to shut down. I remember I was working in restaurants and Manjasi, different restaurants. And I remember when the Prime Minister came on TV and they say, well, from tomorrow we have to shut the door, put the chairs on the table, and we don't know where we're gonna open. The heart just stopped, you know. And they say, "Oh my God, what's gonna happen?" Because we didn't know, you know, the future, and there was a default. Then it came the beautiful news that we could open as a takeaway. And I must say, and then I love to say that I have an amazing support by clientele, by customers. When we have permissions from the government to open for takeaway, we have an incredible request for takeaway. And the people were just in the mood to. And I remember, honestly, I remember my docket line, it was so many, and it was like a full house. It was like a full house. We were so grateful, and we, you know, thank you very much, because, you know, we would never expect it. But we have an incredible clientele support for everywhere. Obviously, they could come, but really, I had to say, I really enjoyed when we start doing the takeaway, because and there was just beautiful. You could feel the spirits of customer really trying to help the business, you know, trying to help the restaurants to stay alive, because, you know, it wasn't easy, but now we had to pay everything else. So to stay alive, and the people understand, my God, restaurant is so important in a way of life. Restaurants is a way of life. We human beings, we want to be, you know, sit in restaurants with other people, the noise of people talking, you know, the happiness of people laughing. It's just a way of life. So when everything stopped, it was just, but like I said, we were not the only one, you know. Imagine, you know, the retail, the shops, the everyone, and the beautiful, beautiful first response people that were just around the world that did an incredible job. Imagine them, what they went, when they went through. Yeah.
How are you feeling about opening up again and moving forward?
Exciting. Extremely exciting. Very exciting. I think it's like a, I don't want to sound too dramatic, but it's like after a big storm or big, you know, major things happened in the world. It did happen, major things in the world, but it's an excitement in the sea, in the street. It's an excitement by the people. It's that you finally have the freedom to go back on your normality of life, and it makes you exciting because you know you're going to open and you're going to open stronger. And I believe that Australia is going to be even stronger than before after this happened. I know we went from tough time. We, you know, let's move on. Let's the past. But yeah, no, very exciting, extremely exciting. I can't wait. Full energy. Imagine 4 months without doing anything.
You've got an amazing, rich history in your family. What is it that you love about what you do?
I love people. I love people, and I love cook for them. I love, you know what, it sounds crazy. I love the expressions when people have the first bite and you can see on the face and they say, oh, wow, that's different. I love the expression. I love the noise. I love the sound of the restaurants. I love when the people laughing. I love when the people talking. The buzz, it's like adrenaline, you know what I mean? The buzz of the restaurants, the people running, the waiters look after customers, the chatting. It makes your day so exciting. And the most important, you don't know what happened the next second in rest because you know, it's just exciting. Restaurant business is just exciting. I think, you know, I'm sure there is different business as exciting, but that's the only things I've done. So for me, I love people, to be honest. That's what makes it exciting. Cooking for people. And that all sounds like, oh my God, you're on the, and then you say, no. I really love cooking for people. I love people eating. I love people see eating. And I'm generally tell the truth. I'm not safe for any reasons. Yeah.
Your father, Armando's influence is incredible on our culinary landscape. And he's also known as quite a fussy eater. What do you think he'll think of the restaurant you're about to open?
He's extremely exciting. I try to talk as much as possible and explain and constantly keep him updated. It's exciting. Obviously, he always told me, make sure you do the right things. You know, make sure, you know, my father is always, he says, straight to the point. He doesn't go around the bush. You know what I mean? And I had to say, if I do something wrong, he'll be the first one. It is not because he doesn't care. That I'm his son. If I do something wrong, he's the first one come to me and say, that is wrong. And you better fix it. So it's like I say, he doesn't go around the bush. He's straight to the point. And if I do something wrong, trust me, I will have many phone calls and told me that I did wrong. Yeah. So, but obviously he's happy. He's happy and wish for the best.
Well, you're going to open the doors soon. How is it going to feel when you welcome in diners again and see their faces eating your food?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait when we open the door and like I said before, I can't wait. We open the door and you can start feel the adrenaline again because that's another important thing. It doesn't matter how many innings you've been cooking. If you don't have the adrenaline a little bit of excitement when the door is open, people start coming in, it means you don't want to be a chef anymore. You know what I mean? If you do without the excitement, emotion, a little bit of adrenaline start to pumping, and if you must have, and I guarantee I have every single night. every night we open the door, customer come in, well, obviously before COVID, I always start to get the excitement, the adrenaline start to start pumping and start to get ready. And then the docket start to printing, and this, we start to call the dockets and just hopefully becomes, you know, beautiful dining, beautiful service.
Well, Mario, good luck with the new restaurant. It's been an absolute honor to have you on Deep in the Weeds today to hear just a little bit of your story. Please keep in touch, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Lovely to talk to you.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we take a deep dive into the lives of the incredible people who ply their trade in the food and hospitality sector.
Special thanks to executive producer Rob Locke for making this all happen.
Follow us on Instagram at Deep in the Weeds Podcast or email us at podcast@deepintheweeds.com.au.
Stay safe and be well.